Hello, this is News Director Larissa Donovan, and joining me on the phone for this interview is Mike Breeden. He's running for County Board Commissioner for District 5. How's it going? Right? District 5, right?
District 5, I think so. Jeez, I hope so. Nice to talk to you, Larissa.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for participating in this interview series, but why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, like how long you've lived in Beltrami County?
Well, I have been in Beltrami County for over 25 years. My family moved here when my father was working for Indian Health Service, and so we had traveled around the country for a little bit and ended up here because it's surrounded by the beautiful reservations. And then I guess for the past, 2 years, I was in Minneapolis, and I recently came back. And so I'm Bemidji's home, always has been. And I'm back to raise my little one. So I've been in Beltrami County long enough to know the area and know the issues and to know the people and to grow to love it just deeper than I can describe.
What sort of roles in the community have you had in the past?
Well, I have long been involved in video work, so I've had jobs that have kind of, carried me around to different, the arts have hired me to record things, and then I was hired on by the City of Bemidji to be the video technician for a few years, so I sat in on all the City Council meetings and the Joint Planning Commission, and, just meeting after meeting, so I had been there and got to know the process a lot there. But yes, I've mainly been working in film stuff, was a projectionist at the theater for like 11 or 12 years, and just a video dork of the area. And then I guess have been involved with political things in the past. I mean, when the Carnegie Library was set to be torn down, my heart was kind of struck by that after Dick Rose had fought valiantly to save the old high school, and then that was torn down. It was a real loss for the community, I thought. And after that, when the Carnegie was going to get torn down, I started to get involved and managed to, along with many others, get the council to turn over a three-time over. On the fourth vote, we got them to go back and decide not to tear it down and to give the community members a chance to raise the money to save the building. So I was very happy to be involved with that. I was involved with public access television. I worked for 8 years to try to spearhead utilizing PEG fees the way that they were intended to be used for the community, to open up a public access channel that I was trying to have that be in conjunction with the government access channels so that communications could be, at the forefront and as healthy as they could have been, because I believe that communication is extremely important. So that, and then I also was involved in, I started the Nameless Coalition for the Homeless with my father, along with Reed Olson and several others, and we managed to open up a what is now a 16-bed overnight emergency shelter for folks in the area, homeless individuals. And that was named after my father, James Wolf Breeden. So it's the Wolf Center. And I was very, very, very proud to be involved with that project and commend everybody that has been involved on that. I think it's that type of work I am just compelled to be involved with, just as a human being, and in the way that my parents raised me. I just kind of think that type of work is just kind of innate. So I guess I've just been community oriented in the way that, help where you can when you can.
And is this your first political campaign?
I think so. I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean,
No student council or anything like that?
Student council. I was the student representative for my senior year of high school. But of course, I dropped out my senior year. I dropped out. My mother was fading away from breast cancer, so I dropped out when she passed away, and then later got my equivalency for high school. But so I'd been involved in those types of things before, and being involved with the public access stuff, I know how it works intimately, how to rally, get social capital together, and how to get people to talk with each other, and to have round tables, and to have eventually decisions made, and and to be in positions. But I've never really thrown my hat in the ring in this way before.
All right. Well, what made you want to run for county board?
Well, I think that Jim Lukacek has done a good job for the county. He had at one point said that he was going to run for two terms. Now he's going into his 12th year, and which is fine, but starting to see these decisions, actions being made that are deviating from the position being a nonpartisan position. I deeply believe that these positions that are meant to represent county as a whole, we need to really be careful about when we start to lean certain ways, or maybe bring forward things that are seemingly propagated by one party, or one political side or the other. So after the refugee resettlement thing, which was an unfortunate thing handed down, that the county board tried to address very quickly, there were some people that were pushing, that were making decisions that were not based on what I thought were the really hardcore facts of what it would actually mean financially, that these decisions were actually coming from places of, in this instance, maybe a little bit of fear. I don't believe that it's a position, to be pushing for, for to not allow the discussion, the appropriate review, the time to decide whether or not we would be involved in something. Instead, these emails came forward where Jim had emailed Michael Mealhouse, the city council, and referred to refugees as invasive, and talking about how refugees would just want to come here and not pay attention to our rules and start their own. And when things like that begin to happen, I think that it might be time to kind of roll things back to the middle and have the discussion from an even keel, which, I think happens with every position. If, you start to grow roots a little bit, and you get the tree starts to lean this way, and, you get stuck in these things. But I don't mean to knock Jim, because I think he's done a good job as a commissioner. I just think that when things like that start to happen, we need to, hit the reset button, bring it back to the middle. After this decision was made, just a month or two later, with the pandemic on our hands, Jim was out at the waterfront with a sign, encouraging, pushing back against the governor and saying that we needed to reopen. And, I think that the county commissioners take an oath, to follow what the state hands down. And we're going to be making bold decisions, big sweeping things, which are actually PR nightmares, like the refugee resettlement decision. And then just a month later, go out and say, hey, let's also, on top of this, let's tell the governor that we think that he's wrong, and we need to push back and have things, done our way. And I just, it's a nonpartisan position.
Well, that is a good segue into my next question. There's been some controversy over last-minute additions to the board's agenda, most notably these hot-button issues like the Refugee Resettlement Action. And there was another one requesting the governor to allow businesses in rural counties to reopen amid the COVID pandemic. Do you think commissioners should be able to add these sort of resolutions to the agenda in this manner?
I think that they can make a decision to have... they can adopt a way of adopting these resolutions, because it's not in place right now, and it just really hasn't been. I think that work sessions need to be reexamined to where that the docket can be decided at that time. There's a lot of things that happen like that, including, you know, a Second Amendment thing where commissioners are, you know, moving these things into position, and there's not the appropriate procedure to have them end up on the docket so that there's the appropriate review. But everything, especially, I mean, the pandemic really has done this or pushed this to the forefront, needs to be decided upon, appropriate procedure, and then followed. And you know, it's not like somebody is particularly at fault for this. This is just something that needs to be adopted, and about what is the exact way we're going to go about making what's on the agenda, you know, and stick to that, because we have seen the loophole kind of be flexed in this instance.
My next question is a financial one. A lot of the financial issues many counties face, not just Beltrami, are around these unfunded mandates from the state. Specifically, out-of-home placements for children is a significant cost to the county. And while there has been some progress made, Minnesota is one of the few states in the country that has local governments pay the largest share of those costs, compared to other states where it's covered mostly by state and federal dollars. What do you think that can be done about unfunded mandates? What should taxpayers know more about from a county standpoint of how these things are getting paid for?
Well, taxpayers should know that the numbers, the proof is there that when we all do better, we all do better. And so when you have these, you know, and it ends up in the end of calls to service where you're having police go and, you know, end up doing essentially taxi service and misplaced families and yes, homelessness, that we need to be thinking at every turn about what is the best usage of tax dollars, not just for, you know, the future prosperity, but yes, to bring everybody into the mix, be inclusive, and have it so that there is a support system in place that isn't like, you know, some people think of it as handouts and the like, but in actuality, and the numbers again show this, saves money that when people that are living in poverty are brought up and out of that, there is not that pull south from tax dollars. You have the ability for real prosperity. So I think that everyone deserves a fair shot, and the best playing field is an equal level playing field. So I'm very into health and human services, and even public health, especially, and going back to the pandemic, public health, we need to be very focused on what is the best way to guide us all forward and not leave anybody behind.
Right. My last prepared question is on the Beltrami County Jail. It's come under considerable public scrutiny and has received some serious fix-it orders from the Department of Corrections, among many other issues. What are your thoughts on the possibility of the new jail?
Well, a new jail, I think, from what I'm understanding, may be in order. I would not want to, you know, speak out of turn until I was able to sit with the information in front of the other, in front, the updated information with the other commissioners after having taken the emails, and again going back to the appropriate procedure, and having, you know, the public be able to weigh in. But yes, we need to look at incarceration, you know, the jail, the updates, the ordinances involved with that. Even looking at pretrial incarceration, you know, the money needs to be utilized the right way, and we are unfortunately spending money to put people in jail that are then ending up, you know, losing their jobs, and then our services have to come in at that point, you know, taxpayer services to come and pick up that slack. There's just, there needs to be a revisiting of everything, and not an overhaul, just a restructuring and looking at things so that we can be maximizing the taxpayer dollars effect. Because yes, we are moving forward into a new world. The population density is changing, and you know, the ordinances need to be moving in accordance with that, and everything needs to grow along with the community, and the jail might very well be a part of that.
All right. Well, Mike, that takes care of my prepared questions. Is there any other issue or topic you'd like to discuss before we wrap this up?
Well, one thing I would say is that I think we need updated communications. I think that it is really unfortunate that as a community we are relying on Commissioner Olson's live feed from his cell phone to be able to, and you know, pandemic or not, to be being involved as a citizenry with these meetings, listening in through a commissioner member's cell phone. A long time ago, I had approached the county board about utilizing, and there's money for this, to be able to have these meetings archived and disseminated, and you know, to have them put over the television airwaves and housed on the internet. And I think that we're well past that, and I think that that's something that needs to happen very quickly, because it is time for that. Back then, it was the idea that, well, nobody really even comes to these meetings. People care, and you know, inclusion is key, and that's the job, you know, to be a representative of the district. And I don't think you can do that unless everybody is at the table.
All right. Well, is there anything else you wanted to be sure we discussed?
No, I'm a very nice person, extremely approachable. No, I'm happy to be involved at this level. I'm a proud father of an 8-year-old and going to be bringing her up in this district. And whether it's me or somebody else, I think it's very important that we keep everybody included and prosperity at the forefront.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mike Breeden for District 5.